The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, man does not live by bread alone." Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. First, I want to tell you happily that our electrician was here this week and examined all of the fixtures and the system and is now going over the electrical plans. And so we have a way of modifying and improving the lighting, and the process should begin within the next week or two. So that will be very good news as two or three more of the bulbs have gone out in the last few days. The first Sunday of Lent is always a time in which the Church helps us to lay a foundation for the 40 days of this season, for this time of conversion and self-reform, interior reformation. Now, we do this with the Scriptures by reading always on the first Sunday of Lent one of the evangelists' accounts of our Lord's temptations in the wilderness, the 40 days that Jesus spent fasting and in prayer. And these temptations are important for us to read about because first they remind us that this is meant to be a time of spiritual struggle. Each of us has the work of self-domination. We're trying to overcome ourselves and be our better, our best self. It's also important because, of course, it reminds us that Christ is near to us. He understands our struggles. He empathizes with us, and we can turn to him. But this year, rather than simply talk about the gospel, I want to talk about another important part of the foundation the Church gives us, and that is the opening prayer of today's Mass. Here at St. Pius, many of you make use of the St. Joseph missals that are in the pews, and that's an excellent way of assisting at Mass, not just to follow the readings, but to read and follow the prayers of the Mass. Now, there are prayers that you know remain the same. The structure of the Mass remains the same from week to week. But there are proper prayers that change each Sunday or each day according to the Mass being said. The Sunday Mass prayers, particularly during Lent, are quite ancient. They go back to the 400s and 500s. And so they have a special richness to them. The opening prayer is called the collect because it literally collects, it gathers up in itself all of the important themes of that day's Mass. And today you heard me pray, grant, Almighty God, through the yearly observances of Holy Lent, that we may grow in understanding of the riches hidden in Christ, and by worthy conduct pursue their effects. Well, those words aren't difficult to understand, although the language is reverent, respectful, and exalted, because that's how we should pray, particularly when we pray together as a church. There are times when we only need one word to pray, help. But there are other times at which it's important for us to form our prayer because our prayer forms us. The way you talk to God is the way you believe in God. And we don't talk to God as though God were simply a peer of ours, a buddy. That's bad theology. That doesn't work. But let's go back to this prayer, which seems simple. Now, one of the phrases that's there is the phrase, Holy Lent. These prayers are translated from Latin. But in Latin, the word Lent doesn't exist. Lent is actually a Middle English term. It comes from the time of Chaucer, and it literally indicates springtime. People adopted it for this holy season because it coincides with springtime. And also, spring, for farming people, is a very good metaphor for what these 40 days are meant to do. Now that the winter's coming to an end, the farmer goes out with mattock and hoe and breaks up the hard frozen soil so that the sun and the rain can bring forth new life, so that everything can be green again with life. Well, that's what we're doing through our penances. We're trying to break up our hard hearts and our hard heads and bring forth new life. So, in England, the term Lent, springtime, came to be synonymous with the 40 days. Every other language, all the Romance languages, all the early tongues, take their name for this holy time from the number 40. So, in Latin, this is officially quadragesima, the period of the 40 days. And the prayer, it actually refers to quadragesimale sacramentum. So what we translate as Holy Lent in this prayer is literally the 40-day mystery. The 40-day mystery. That's what we are living right now. Now, the word mystery in the early church was equivalent to sacraments. Sacraments, sacramenta, and mysterion are the same thing. We think of the sacraments as the seven great acts instituted by Christ to give grace. But we also use the term sacrament, mysterion, to describe the whole process by which you and I are changed by Christ into Christ. Our human nature is transformed, and we are bonded together to Him, with Him, and in Him. That's what the purpose of the 40 days is, to bond us, to transform us, so that our practices during Lent have good consequences. They bring us into the mystery of the dying and rising of Jesus, and the way in which this bond with him, this deep relationship with him, is brought about is through denial of ourselves and good works towards others, through penances, mortification, and works of mercy. During Lent, the words of St. John the Baptist, "He must increase, I must decrease," are meant to be heard every day. And this doesn't refer to dieting during Lent. It refers to making room. When he increases in us, we are more who we're supposed to be. We make room for him by our self-denial, by our penances. Now, there are two things that we have to keep in mind whenever we talk about or think about Jesus. He is eternal, almighty God, and he is fully human. I often use the expression, true God and perfect man. That's who he is. And you have to remember both sides, both halves of that sentence. He took our human nature, he became man, he took our human nature into a bond with his divinity. They're joined together in order to save us from our sins and to reveal to us who we really are. That's an expression of the Second Vatican Council, and it's one of the most important teachings of the Council. He came in order to save us from our sins and to reveal to us who we really are. We don't know who we are. That's one of the effects of original and personal sin. We are confused. We are alienated from our true selves. Christ comes to reveal our true selves more fully to us while showing us the merciful face of the invisible Father. And in this way, he establishes us in a new relationship with him. There are some things about Jesus that we can learn from books, from listening to sermons, from taking a class, but there are other things about him and about ourselves that we can only know through a relationship with him that is ongoing, in which he increases and I decrease. You can look at a crucifix and you can determine its height, its breadth, its width. But on Calvary, part of the cross was hidden. It was plunged into the earth. And that's what kept the cross standing. It was that foundation that it was buried beneath the soil. The part under the ground is what held it up. In the same way, there are things about Christ that are hidden. And they're hidden deep within himself and deeply within us. And until we establish and foster that relationship, we will not know him fully and truly as he is. And we won't know ourselves either. So as that opening prayer says, Lent, this quadragesimale sacramentum, is a season during which we learn things about Christ and therefore about ourselves that we can't learn in any other way. That's why this is a mystery. There's a bond, a mysterious bond, between the whole cycle of Lent and the person of Jesus. Lent and Easter make present for us in a very real way the reality of Christ's life, passion, death, and resurrection. And these things that are made known to our heart, to our mind, to our imagination, to our soul, are no less real than the things that we perceive around us with our senses. When we participate actively and sincerely in Lent, God the Father shapes us inside of ourselves, conforms us to his Son who died and rose. Now we do this personally, and we also do it corporately as a church. That's why on Ash Wednesday, we all received ashes. It was a public act. For that day, we could all see who we were. Then the ashes are wiped off, and the rest of it is private, more or less. But there are things that the church does to help us, to prepare us. So during this month, these 40 days, the church changes. The music changes. We lose the glory to God in the highest. We don't hear the Alleluia. We put them aside until we sing them with joy at Easter. The flowers disappear from the altar. They'll be more beautiful on Easter Sunday. The altar is robed in purple, a color of morning and of night. The glory of dawn will come back at Easter. The bells disappear on Holy Thursday night, and on Good Friday and Holy Saturday, we lose the Mass. There's no Mass on Good Friday. There's no Mass on Holy Saturday morning. All why? So that on Easter Sunday, with the Easter Vigil, with all the other Easter Masses, everything is more beautiful, everything is more glorious, and we can appreciate it, not just because we miss it, but because we understand it better. And that's why we pray in today's prayer that all of these disciplines may have their effective good consequences, their effects in our lives. To be good Catholics, we have to enter into these mysteries. And it's not just by participating in this Mass or in some other ceremony. It's something deeper. When we come to Mass, we don't come just to listen. That's what you teach your little ones, to listen. Wonderful. It's a foundation. When we're older, there's more than just listening, and there's more than just showing up. We are meant to worship, to adore, to praise, to say to Jesus, I know that nothing would exist without you. I know that I personally can't live without you. I wouldn't be the decent man or woman that I'm trying to be without you. I wouldn't have the direction in my life without you. I wouldn't have strength on the dark days, on the tough days, on the ordinary boring days to do the right thing without you. Lord, I need you, I adore you, I thank you, I praise you, I marvel at you. That's worship. And that's what Lent is meant to reveal to us. The face of a merciful God, kind and strong, forgiving, encouraging, healing, self-giving. And when we see those qualities in him as we ought, then we can find them in ourselves and we can work for them in ourselves, and others will see them in us, because they'll be real, they'll be lasting, and they will bring us joy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.